Our scripture reading this morning from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 14. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Here ends our scripture reading for this morning. We live in a world where wealth and poverty exist side by side. Amidst the serenity and the joy of a Mediterranean cruise during the past week, Tinka and I once again also saw the extreme poverty that destroys life, hope and joy for millions of people living right here on our doorsteps. It moves one to tears and makes one aware of our own helplessness and our shared guilt as part of an unjust society. I found myself staring with unseeing eyes over the serenity and beauty of the ocean and suddenly realized that our Lord's Prayer had overpowered my mind, my thinking and my being, and I found myself, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And I wish I could say that I didn't cry, but I did. And there, amidst the contrast, my mind shifted to the story of a dignified minister who was visiting a woman in a nursing home and she was confined to a wheelchair. So as he stood to leave, the woman asked him if he would pray for her. So he gently took her hand and prayed that God would be with her to bring her comfort, strength, and healing. And when he finished praying, her face began to glow, and she said softly, "Pastor, would you please help me to my feet?" And not knowing what else to do, he helped her up. At first, she took a few uncertain steps, and then she began to jump up and down, and then to dance, shout and cry with happiness until the whole nursing home was aroused. So after the visit, the solemn pastor hurried out to his car. He closed the door, he grabbed hold of the steering wheel and he prayed, "Lord, don't you ever do that to me again." The sad humor in the story is that the minister was doing his job and he was praying as he was supposed to, but apparently he was doing it without faith. He definitely did it without expectation, without expecting any results at all. Just another prayer in an endless string of many. His prayer was nothing but empty phrases. In other words, he was so very human, so very much like us. And Jesus was aware of this human weakness. Because even then, in the earthly time of Jesus, people were the same. And therefore he said, when you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. And it was then that Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer, to pray and to mean every word of it. Because as we all know, at the core of the Lord's Prayer is the fervent plea, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Actually, the oldest gospel in the Bible introduces Jesus as follows in Mark 1, verses 14 and 15. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. So, the coming of God's kingdom on earth is dead center in the message of Jesus. God's power would renew all creation. Peace and justice would mark God's kingdom. So in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to pray that God's kingdom must come so that God's will for the good and of creation and all humankind be done on earth as it already is in heaven. In Jesus Christ, says Scripture, the kingdom of God came near. Christianity was born because a few devout people were converted from dead living to a God-centered and empowered passion to claim territory for the Prince of Peace. And the conviction that move us to believe in the coming kingdom of God will also shape and give meaning to our lives, to our faith, to our ways of thinking and doing. Therefore, right here, so close to the beginning of a new year, the choice is ours. Oh yes, we can always pray, let your kingdom come, exactly like the minister who prayed for the lady in the wheelchair with an idle repetition of words, an empty phrase without real meaning, and then remain skeptic and surprised when good things begin to happen, and then even say, Lord, don't you ever do that to me again. Or we can discover the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. O God, let your kingdom come, and as from now on I will mean what I say, and I will go where you lead me to let your kingdom come. And I had to go through this myself during the past week. Because when it is part of your profession, part of your everyday life to pray for people and to pray with people. It is so easy to fall into a routine. Does it happen to me? Well, with just the quiet of the ocean around me, I had to say, "Forgive me, God." Yes. Yes, it's not always easy to find words to touch the depth of our human being so that we can speak from deep conviction when we pray to God. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "Strive first for the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." That's the promise. First strive for the kingdom. Dedicate yourselves to do God's word and will, and all these other things that you are planning and talking about will come about. And that made me think, for the past years, we have repeatedly held Matthew 6 verse 33 up. For several years now, it's projected on our screen, Sunday after Sunday. Strive first for the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And that is the truth that many of us had to learn in this church during the past years. Because we do not always talk about the busyness behind the scenes. We do not always say or express how concerned we are, be it for the finances of the church, be it for needs and things that we know that we need to make this truly a church with a calling from God. Often we have to wrestle with the fact that there are simply not enough hands, not enough volunteers to do even the most essential parts of God's service. And then I always remind myself that I cannot remember serving in a church who had a greater percentage of volunteers than this church of ours. And we thank God for each and every one of them. But the truth is that in a growing church there are growing needs. And time again, we have to face the reality that we do not have enough hands willing and able to meet every challenge that come our way. And I can say in all earnestness that time and again, I had to remind myself, and I hope that I was faithful in proclaiming, strive first for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to us as well. Because I had to learn in my own heart, and we have to understand that our mission on earth is not a worldly one. We are striving for something bigger and greater, larger than us. We are hoping every time when we walk through these doors that somehow God's Spirit will touch and change us so that we can serve better, so that we can do more, and so that we can proclaim God's coming kingdom even in what we say and do here in our neck of the woods. After all, anybody can curse the darkness, but people of faith rather light candles to defy the darkness. If we are only interested in ourselves, in our members, this church will eventually become a museum for saints rather than a haven from where living waters flow. And that made me pray, as if for the first time, O God, let Your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come also in our church, also in our lives, also in the way that we deal with one another. Let your kingdom come so that we can be touched and that we can be changed from the inside out. In our outreach, we tell the world that we are open and welcoming for our entire community and that we do not carry unwelcome signals of any kind. Because we know and we believe that it is not for us to judge or to determine who should be welcomed into a church of Jesus Christ. If we have no passion and no dedication for our church's specific identity, our message, our place and calling, our church will not survive. Our church will vanish from this area. Oh God, let your kingdom come here in our midst. If there is no passion for knowledge about our faith, then we will never experience the joy of growing and moving forward in the faith. I remember as young minister how often I was confronted in my own mind with the words of Hosea 4 verse 6. How often I had to pray, and I did so earnestly, O God, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We are living in a world where so many truths are coming to us from all sides. We are living in a world where people argue and where they get bitter about this interpretation or that interpretation of God's Word. But those same people, we do not see them when the opportunities are there and it's given in our church more regularly than any other church I've ever served in my life. Opportunity for people to come out to study, to learn, and to understand more and better about their faith. As somebody recently said to me, oh no, I don't agree with everything that I heard, but I can tell you one thing. Our Christian enrichment has made me a better Christian than ever before. We just started a new semester, and we did so with the prayer, oh God, let your kingdom come. If you and I have no passion for the hungry, the homeless, the helpless, and the hopeless, our church and ministry will be nothing but a worship club, a place where people play religion like a concert, and we will no longer be the body of Christ at work in the world. Oh God, let your kingdom come. The earthly ministry of Jesus Christ reached across every taboo, every human prejudice. O God, let your kingdom come. And if you and I really believe that in the person of Jesus Christ, we have the truth about God, the truth about the world, and the truth about ourselves, then the year 2008 challenges us anew to share our faith with others who are still groping in darkness. And this is maybe with the serenity of a wide open ocean around me that I learned to pray again, oh God, let your kingdom come. Let a lifetime of longing in the pulpit, let the many tears shed not be in vain. O God, let your kingdom come. Let it touch us. Let it change us. Let it make us new and we shall go out into the world and we shall proclaim the glory of our King. And there on the ocean, with some tears, I found myself writing the last two lines of today's sermon. What a fantastic time to be alive. What a fantastic privilege it is to be serving God through Jesus Christ. O God, let your kingdom come. What a privilege to be part of something truly great. Truly great. Amen.